This morning, I feel led by the Holy Spirit to talk about the name of Jesus. This is a message that's been percolating in my spirit now for months. God's finally said, okay, it's this Sunday. Bring it this Sunday. And so on this interesting flip-flop Sunday, I just felt like, you know what? Bring this message this Sunday. Preach the message first and leave time for us to respond to this message that the Holy Spirit has for us this morning as we worship God and declare it over our lives, over our church, over our families. We're going to talk about the name of Jesus this morning. Most Christians are very familiar with ending their prayers with this phrase, in Jesus' name. Most of you probably do that. I just did. Just as we opened up in prayer, in Jesus' name. Why? Why do we do that? Is it just a habit? Is it simply a salutation at the end of a prayer? Is it something that we just do because we've heard other people do it, and that's just, we've been around the church long enough, and this is what, you know, mom and dad did, and this is what, it's just what you do? Or is it something much more than that? Is there more to it? As we look to God's Word, we see that the name of Jesus is powerful. In His name, in the name of Jesus, there is healing. In the name of Jesus, there is salvation. In the name of Jesus, there is freedom. You see, the name of Jesus is powerful. And we need to understand this. When we understand this, well, I mean, when we understand it to the point where we actually take it in and start to let it change our way of thinking and our way of living, it will dramatically change your prayer life, number one. Because now you're going to understand what you're saying at the end of your prayer and why you're saying it. And it's going to make sense and it's going to change everything that you said even before that. So it will dramatically change your prayer life the more we understand the power of the name of Jesus. It will change the way you live. It'll change the way you interact with God. It'll change how you walk every single day. We're going to be in Acts 3 and Acts 4 most of this morning. So if you want to grab your Bibles, open them up to Acts chapter 3. It's where we're going to be starting, and then we'll be running over into chapter 4 also. You all remember the story well. Peter and John, not long after Jesus' resurrection and then His ascension, they went to the temple as they did every single day to pray. And as they were going to the temple on this particular day, they met a man that couldn't walk. They met a lame man. Some of you are already singing the song in your head right now. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. So on and so forth. I don't want to get any further ahead because we got to unpack this a little bit. So, they met a lame man. This man that they met, that they saw, it wasn't the first time this guy was at the Gate Beautiful right there in front of the temple. This guy had been there day in and day out, every single day, the same guy sitting there on the ground. He can't walk and he's begging for help. He's begging for something so that he can just eat. And so he asks Peter and John for some money. And Peter replies with these well-known words. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. And here it is. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And the man gets up and he walks. That's the exchange. Help me. I need some money to eat. I don't have money. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And this man that could not walk, that could not provide for himself, that could not go out and make a wage to feed himself, that had to beg, that man who was crippled from birth rose up and he walked. It says this in verse 7. taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This isn't a children's story. This happened. Real life. This happened. A miracle happened. A crippled man got up and he walked and he danced. Why did this miracle happen? Because Peter and John stopped and they prayed for him. This miracle happened. This man was healed because these two men of God stopped. They took the time to stop and they prayed for him. And a miracle happened. So I was looking at that. I was thinking to myself, how many miracles are waiting to happen? How many miracles is God ready to allow happen, ready to do? He's just waiting for us, his people, to stop and to pray, to get engaged. Peter and John stopped and they prayed. And a miracle happened. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. That's the title of our message today. There's power in the name of Jesus. Okay, so Peter prayed for this man. And a miracle happened. How did Peter pray? Did Peter go into this long dialogue about this man's sickness and what parts of his body might be broken and need to be strengthened and need to be fixed, and how medically this dissertation of medical reasons of why and what and this and that, or possibly sins that had happened in the past and all of these things. Did Peter go into this long prayer so that this guy could get healed? And if he went long enough and finally identified the right little piece of tissue to be... No, he didn't. What did he do? He very simply said, look, all I have is this, the power of the name of Jesus Christ. So I speak that over your life right now. In his name, be healed. Sometimes we can, as Christians, we can fall into this. It just happens, okay? You get wrapped up in prayer and you really love prayer and you're around a lot of people who pray and you start learning different ways to pray, and the next thing you know, you add all these different ways and these terminologies and everything together, and you end up with these long 30-minute prayers when really all we need to do is say, in the name of Jesus Christ, healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, freedom. In the name of Jesus Christ, that thing be broken off of your life. I love this. I love this. Peter said simply, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So the miracle that just occurred created quite a stir in the temple courts that day. Can you imagine it? Again, this is a guy that everyone was used to seeing every single day. They knew that from birth, this guy was crippled. He'd never walked. And all of a sudden, that guy that they'd seen every single day begging, that they were probably walking by trying to look away or make sure they were having a conversation with somebody else so that they didn't have to pay attention to him. You know what I'm saying? You're driving up the on-ramp or something, and it's coming, and you're looking ahead, and you're like, uh-oh, I better get on the phone. I better get some kind of conversation going. Otherwise, I have to pay attention to that person who has a need. That was extra credit. I don't know where that came from, but... So everyone's going to the temple, and they're used to seeing that guy and trying to ignore him. And now, all of a sudden, he's in the temple courts, and he's running, and he's dancing, and he's praising God. And they're like, something happened. This is crazy, and the whole temple courts, everyone's buzzing, and it's a stir, and wow. Peter sees a chance to preach. That's what happened. Healing occurred. It created a stir. It got everyone's attention. And Peter didn't run and hide. Peter said, "Whoo! This is a perfect opportunity to proclaim the name of Jesus and to declare the gospel message and the name of Jesus to everyone so that they will know who did this thing." So Peter takes this opportunity to preach. He has everybody's attention. Look, when you pray for someone and they are healed, we need to give God the glory for it, first of all. And then we need to take the opportunity to tell them and anyone else who is around that sees it or has been affected by it, their family members, their friends, their co-workers, strangers, whoever, we need to take that opportunity at that point to tell them about Jesus. We need to preach Jesus to them. That's what Peter did time and time again. That's what Paul did time and time again. Read the book of Acts. Miracles happen, boom, they're preaching. That's what Jesus did. He would do a miracle. And what would he do out of the miracle? A teaching about the kingdom. He would heal somebody. He'd get their attention. He said, "Look, what's harder, me to heal the person or to say their sins are forgiven?" And then he would go into a dialogue about the kingdom, about who he is, the Son of God. I mean, healings occur, and we thank God for that. But I tell you what, they are the best opening, the best opening for us to be able to then preach and share the gospel. Many people believe because Peter preached Jesus Christ after the crippled man was healed. It said that their number rose to 5,000 on that day. See what God can do? Peter just simply stopped. He prayed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Often this is called prayer evangelism. It's one of the best forms of evangelism. It's one of the easiest forms of evangelism. It's one of my favorites because it's one of the easiest, frankly. And that is just to simply pray for somebody. Let God do what God does. Let God touch their heart. And the next thing you know, you will have an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, "He's setting it all up. It's God's work. He's doing it all. You're just cooperating. You prayed. God did his work. You just responded by sharing Jesus Christ and giving him the glory." And the next thing you know, people are coming to Christ. It happens today, just as it did on that day in the temple courts with Peter and John. It's beautiful. While Peter was preaching, he said these words. Let's go now to Acts 3:16. He said these words when he was preaching. He said, "By faith in the name of Jesus Christ." So he's explaining to everybody what just happened. And he's giving God the glory for it. And so he says to them, "By faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Again, there's power in the name of Jesus. So the high priest and his crew, they had a dilemma here, didn't they? They had a dilemma. How are they going to handle this situation? Again, they knew that this man was crippled. They could not deny the truth that this guy was once a cripple and now he's running, dancing, and praising God. So they started questioning. And they said, as it says in the scripture here, they said, "By what power or what name did you do this?" So that statement is very, very important. Because what that statement shows is the fact that the high priest, the religious people who hate Jesus, who are doubting Thomas people, who don't want to give glory to Jesus for anything, or the disciples of Jesus or the church of Jesus, they don't want to give any kind of credence to anything they're doing, yet they cannot deny that this man was healed. And this is proof of it, because they say, They say, by what power or what name did you do this? Because it's happened. How did this happen? If you're ever looking for evidence that God does miracles and continues to do miracles after Jesus ascended to be with his Father, here's the first proof right here. It's a miracle that was corroborated by the high priest and the Sanhedrin. It happened, and they couldn't deny it. They're so baffled by it that they're asking, how did it happen? And I'm sure they're thinking in the back of their minds, please don't say Jesus. Jumping forward to Acts 4:8. Peter is continuing to preach. Peter loves to preach. I love to preach. Ask my family members. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, again, he's still responding to the religious folks, all the people in the temple. What's going on here? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, now I want to back up really quick before we jump forward here, because this is a very important fact. God decided that he wanted to make sure that we understood that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit as he's doing these things. The Holy Spirit could have just left it out. He could have said, then Peter said to them this. But no. The Lord wants us to understand that Peter is walking in the Spirit. He's walking in the Spirit as he's walking to the temple that day. He's being led by the Spirit as he stops and he prays in the name of Jesus Christ and that man is healed. He is filled with the Holy Spirit as he's speaking these words. They are not his own words. It's not in his own strength. It's not in his own power. It's not his own intellect. It's not some kind of thing that he's prepared ahead of time that's just some rote answer that he's just going to throw out at anybody. No, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's walking by the Spirit, not in his own flesh. And all of this is happening. We need to walk by the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Ask for it every morning. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I choose to walk by the Spirit today, not by my flesh. Cry out. Tell yourself that. So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now they're all thinking, oh, we didn't want to hear this. But he's saying, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that same Jesus that you hung on a cross, whom God then raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. In verse 12, salvation, he says, listen to where Peter's going with this now. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Whoa! Peter is taking it to a whole nother level here. Did you see what he just did there in verse 12? Peter is now taking it to a whole nother level. Not only is there healing in the name of Jesus. How's this man healed? I tell you, it's in the name of Jesus. Not only is there healing, but then he says that there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Physical healing today and eternal spiritual healing of salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are we getting the message clearly here? Are we understanding where God is taking this? We need to know this stuff. We need to understand this. You look through the New Testament. You look through the Gospels even. But you go through the whole New Testament and you will find the name of Jesus talked about time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. Jesus talked about it time and time and time again. We got to get this. We got to have a deeper understanding of it, and we got to walk in this truth. Salvation and healing come in the name of Jesus. Look at John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. Salvation, being born again, in the name of Jesus. And then in 1 John 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. In other words, I write these things to you who believe in the name of Jesus, so that you may know that you have eternal life. There is healing and salvation in the name of Jesus. And that's some pretty awesome news. That's good news, folks. That is good news. Okay, we're going to get back to talking about the name of Jesus, but I want to take a little bit of a detour now, and I want to highlight, I want to make sure that we don't run by this very important fact of the boldness that Peter and John were showing on that day. Boldness. They were being threatened by the Sanhedrin. They already knew that they weren't supposed to be mentioning the name of Jesus in the temple courts. That was off limits. Jesus was already crucified. They weren't supposed to be bringing Him up again, right? Yet on that day, they spoke the name of Jesus, the man was healed, and then they boldly preached the name of Jesus to everybody in the temple courts, right there in front of the chief priests and in front of the entire Sanhedrin and all those religious folks. They spoke the name of Jesus boldly. These were the same people, again, who crucified Jesus. They knew a lot was at stake if they mentioned the name of Jesus. Yet they opened up their mouths and they preached the name of Jesus boldly. It wasn't just like, oh, they're going to be embarrassed and people are going to think they're just religious fanatics and nuts and kind of write them off. They'd already been written off, okay? There was a lot more at stake in what they were doing. For Jesus had just been crucified, hung on a cross. They understood what was at stake here, their very lives. Yet they boldly opened up their mouths and gave God the glory, and they spoke the name of Jesus over everything that had just happened, all the miracles and everything, and declared Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But then my mind gets blown more as we look and we see how the story continues. And that after, you know, they got thrown in prison, because they did get thrown in prison for doing that. But then they got out of prison. And what did they do? Did they hightail it out of town? No. They went back to find the other believers. Something very important. Too often, when we run into trouble, we don't run to the right place. You know what I'm saying? Things are bad, you're having a difficult time in life, relationship issues maybe, problems at work, whatever it is, it's just not going right. The devil loves to divide us. The devil would have loved to have scared those two men of God right out of town and away from the body of Christ. But instead, what did they do? They got out of jail and they went to the body of Christ. They went to the church. They went to the gathering of the saints who were praying, and they joined them in prayer. And this is awesome, because what did they start praying for when they got into that prayer meeting? Did they start praying, oh God, would you just blind the eyes of the enemy so they don't see us or hear us, and so that we can just make it through life okay, and so that we're not persecuted because this hurts and this stinks, and just help us, you know, just kind of. No, they didn't do that. They prayed for boldness. Check this out. They prayed this prayer. They said, Lord, consider their threats. And then look at this. And enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They were saying, God, while it's difficult in prison, it's not preferable. We know who we are and we know what we're called to do. That we are called to lift up the name of Jesus. So give us boldness. Stretch out your hand. Give us boldness. Do more signs and wonders. Do more miracles so that we can preach the name of Jesus boldly.
Hallelujah.
They said, God, we want more. And we want to be used for more. We will not retreat. So strengthen us so that we can press forward. That's awesome. I mean, that's just awesome. Said that when they got done praying that prayer, that they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. And they were able to speak the Word of God boldly. God loves prayers like that. He loves it when we catch His heart, when we won't retreat, when we won't shy away. This is Peter, the same guy who denied Jesus 3 times because he was fearful for his life. The same guy now filled with the Holy Spirit is praying prayers like this, saying, God, give me more boldness. I'm ready to go out there again. I'm ready to go out there again and preach your name, Jesus, again. Give me more boldness. And God gave him more boldness. He filled him with the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to know the fullness of God? Do you want to walk in powers? Do you want to see miracles? We need to pray prayers like this. We need to desire it so much that we're willing to put ourselves out there. So, if anyone makes fun of you for the fact that you are speaking the name of Jesus, if anybody makes fun of you because you're a Jesus freak and you like to talk to them about Jesus when they're in trouble or when they're having difficulties and you're speaking the love of God into their lives and they kind of poo-poo that and, oh, you're just a Jesus person, whatever. You know, that's good for you. And you don't curl up and run away and don't feel rejected. Just pray for more boldness. And remember Peter and John. Pray for more boldness. Just might find the Holy Spirit coming on you. It'll be good. It'll be really good. Okay. As we're talking about the name of Jesus, I want to make sure that we're very careful about something. That the name of Jesus is not some magic word or some magic wand or some kind of pixie dust that we pull out of our religious belt and just throw around like it's just going to fix everything. And you hear what I'm saying? The name of Jesus isn't a magic wand. It's not. Sometimes Christians use it that way, and that's wrong. The power is not even in saying the words. I mean, we say the name Jesus, but, you know, that's kind of the American version of the name. It's not even in saying the words. The power is in understanding and believing all that the name of Jesus signifies. Okay? So there's power in the name of Jesus. We see throughout the Word that it's the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. But what that is saying is that name is representing the power or who Jesus is. That name represents all the finished work of Jesus on the cross. The name of Jesus represents the fulfilling of God's plan of redemption and salvation through His Son, Jesus. The name of Jesus represents victory over sin and death and sickness and disease and over the devil's entire realm. The name of Jesus represents that. That's what the name of Jesus represents. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying in who Jesus is. We're praying in His, in everything that He is and everything He's done and all the victory and all the power that that represents. In the name of Jesus represents all of that. When the name of Jesus is invoked, it carries all the power and distinction that God has given it. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, therefore God exalted Him, speaking of Jesus, therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. God exalted his son Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name. Above some names? Above most names? No. Above every name. Above every name. Above sickness. Above poverty. Above divorce. Above addiction. Above depression. Above every sin and every scheme of the devil. His name is above every name. And he continues that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's power in the name of Jesus because God gave the power to Jesus and exalted him above every other name. But it gets more exciting than that. It gets more exciting than that. Check this out. Jesus Christ has given Christians, all of us who are in Christ Jesus, all of us who call on him as our Lord and Savior, he's given us the right and the authority to use his name. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty humbling that we have the right and the authority. And I'd take it so far now as to even say we have the responsibility to use his name. This means that Christians have been given the power of attorney, meaning that we have the authority to act on his behalf. We can act on Jesus' behalf. And we can take action on his behalf. We have been given the power of attorney, the right, the privilege, the authority, and the responsibility to use his name to continue his work, to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Look, invoking the name of Jesus it's like invoking the name of a king, because he is the King of Kings, right? And so you've seen the movies, those old movies back in the days of kings, like King Arthur or something like that. And he sends a servant out around to go into the different villages and to bring an edict or to collect taxes or whatever it is that servant, that messenger is called to do. And so this regular old guy, or maybe regular young guy, I don't know. But anyway, so this guy, probably a young guy, because he's got to run or ride a horse all around the kingdom, right? So he's going around the kingdom, and he's coming up to a gate of the next village, and he's knocking on the door, and he's saying, please let me in. And they say, who are you? Well, I'm Ralph. And they say, sorry, Ralph, but we're not letting you in here. We don't know who you are. Ralph then says, well, I come in the name of the king. I have been sent in the name of the king. I am about the king's business today. I'm the king's servant. I come in his name. What happens to that gate? It opens wide up and it opens very quickly. And he is allowed in. Right? It's the way it is with us. As Christians, we are called to walk about his kingdom, bringing his kingdom, and walking not in our own authority, not in our old identity of who we were, but walking in the identity of who we are in Christ Jesus, carrying his name, walking in his authority, and telling gates to open up in his name so that his kingdom, his plans, and his purposes can happen in this kingdom, in this age right now. In his name, we have the power of attorney. And again, it's not just some kind of pixie dust wonderful thing that we can just pull out when it's to our advantage. We are called to walk in that every single day. Not just for our own benefit. Not just when we're not feeling well or we need a better job or we need a promotion or we need whatever it is that we need. We are to walk in that every day, bringing his kingdom everywhere we go, opening up the doors, putting aside the kingdom of darkness, bringing the kingdom of light in his name as his messengers, as his people, walking in his authority. We get to do that every single day. It's a privilege. It's a responsibility, too. What if that messenger wouldn't take the king's message to some of the villages just because he was kind of tired and really didn't want to do it anymore and, you know, didn't want to get back on that horse and ride again and just kind of wanted to chill out a little bit? And that wouldn't be so good. The king would be a little disappointed, wouldn't he? Anyway, that was extra credit, too. That wasn't in the notes. And so with this in mind, Jesus tells us this. He tells us in John 14, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then John says this, Jesus says this in John 16, 23. He says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, because you're in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And then check this out. It's in 1 John 5, verse 14. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears it. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him." Power of attorney. We have power of attorney. God's given us the privilege and the responsibility to use his name. And because of that, we can have confidence in what we're asking. Now, we've talked about this in sermons past, about how when we ask of these things, that as Jesus pointed out, that we're asking the will of the Father, not just our own will, our own desires, but it's getting to know the will of the Father more, which means we need to spend time in his word. We need to spend time in his presence. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to be walking in the Spirit so that we know the will of God, so that when we're praying and asking these things, we're praying God's will. Right? But we can have confidence in the name of Jesus. Confidence in walking out his plans, because we are walking in the name of Jesus as his people, carrying his name and his authority. We can have confidence in the finished work of Christ. We can have confidence in his word. We can have confidence in his power, confidence in his sufficiency. We can have confidence in his name when we pray, when we minister. And so we're reminded this morning that there is power in the name of Jesus. And this power is immense. I got two more passages, and then we're going to conclude things and spend some time just declaring what we've just heard from God's word over our lives in the time of worship. The first passage is in Luke 10, verse 17. It says that the 72 returned with joy. These are his disciples. The 72 returned with joy, and they said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Do you hear that? Confidence in walking, in ministering, in praying in the name of Jesus, being his people. Confidence in his name. Even the demons submit. Even the demons flee. Darkness is broken off and must flee. Jesus told us that, look, you're going to do even greater things. You're going to be able to tell a mountain to be moved and thrown into the sea, and it will be done. Yes, in his name. In his name, even the demons flee. And it says in Mark 16, "And these signs will accompany those who believe." Jesus says, "In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they might get well." Did I change that one? Did I miss? Most of the time, they're going to get well. They will. Oh. "And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." It's by faith in the name that's above all names. It's by faith in the name of Jesus that people are saved, that people are set free from bondage, that people are healed of sickness and diseases. It's It's by the powerful name of Jesus Christ that people are made whole. It's by His name. We need to understand this as followers of Jesus Christ. We're disciples just like Peter and John were. We're no different. We are disciples just like them. We need to have this understanding that they had to the point that we walk it out. Live it out. Walk in that confidence and boldness. Knowing that it's in His name, it's in His authority, it's in His power that God moves. And we are carrying His name. We must not minimize the power of His name or the effectiveness of His name. So, as we're going to jump into a time of worship and declaring His name, I want you to be thinking about what things are coming against you today. Or maybe coming against a loved one today. There is one who is greater and stronger than whatever that is that's coming against you. His name is Jesus. His name is above that thing that's coming against you. His name is greater. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain of sickness, of bondage, of every curse, every power, every principality. To break every sin. And there is power in the name of Jesus to bring salvation in your life and the life of loved ones. Continue to pray for them, for their salvation. And let's declare this truth together.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Let's stand and declare this. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is power in the name Jesus, oh, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, not just some, but every, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. Sing, there is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, it's true. There is power in the